603?
Four.
And could everybody just state their name to...
Tom Friedland, Acting Chair.
Christine Steele.
Dennis Ritchie.
Brenda Perry, Council Liaison.
Grant Oakes.
And Mike Stradley, PD.
Well, the only thing on the agenda was more of a debrief on the health fair, or the preparedness fair that was last Thursday.
Yep.
So, what kind of feedback do we have? I was not there.
I hear nothing but good. I hear the big turnout, very positive.
Christine, how did you see it?
I thought it was just crazy busy, and that was a good thing. And, you know, the perfect storm of media running up to this, not just local, but national, the New Yorker article, all of that helped. I do have one suggestion, though. It'd be nice if the city had badges that said City of West Lynn Volunteer. Mm-hmm. And it would be even nicer if there was a sticky so we could write in our name. But if the city just wanted to have something like that, because it was hard for people to identify us as being somebody to ask questions of.
I think that was brought up about 6 months ago, and I don't think anything happened with it.
We were talking about this pages for public safety advisory board, so people would know that.
Yeah,
some type of identity.
Well, something you wear around your neck, maybe, that hangs.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Yeah.
Or if you just, we talked about getting cards, too, while we're doing going to meetings and stuff, that would people ask for a card, you know, when several donations that I feel I could have gotten when they asked for a card and I didn't have a card, I didn't have any proof that I was
It could be a generic one. Just a public safety advisory board, wouldn't you have to have your
name? Type your name into it or write your name into it.
No.
I don't think
it's a phone number and address on it.
Well, and actually, it could be the same thing. I mean, you can stick them in those little plastic holders that you can pin on or clip on. And
it doesn't need to be a big expense.
How many people were estimated to have gone through the event? Do we have any numbers?
I think there are 300 plus, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. And the breakout sessions were overflowing. The one that Greg Swanson put on, that was just huge.
Yeah.
People were standing room only. And then the one prior to him was pretty full, too.
Jay's, yeah.
I know, I couldn't go. I was just still not quite right. But Neil Henley told me that he was there and was impressed. Even though I'm not out and about yet, I'm going to wait another week before I'm out on the road. But I've talked to several citizens that were there and just thought it was great. It didn't hurt that there's been some local media stuff about... Not even just about this, but just about the possibility of earthquakes. From everybody that I've talked to that was there, they sure thought it was successful.
Well, I know there was a notice or flyer that went out in the water bill, which I opened today.
It came on
Saturday.
Each of us put in a laundry
chest
on
the council.
Except they messed mine up.
A lot of good PR has happened before and during. So.
Right.
There were four of us there at the booth most of the time, and we were all talking to different people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There were very few lulls until, I'd say, 7 o'clock.
Collect a bunch of people that wanted to do the Map and Neighborhood deal?
Yes, we got
51
signatures.
Either wanted to do it or interested in it. So how we're going to handle that, and David Baker currently, he said he'd have that thing done tonight, as soon as I get an email to you.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
He was going to take the sheets and put them on a spreadsheet. And the nice thing about doing that, when you've got the emails on a spreadsheet, you copy that column and plug it into an email without having to do all that. Plus, he's going to get it all free.
He photographed that with his phone. These young people.
Well, however he's going to do it, I don't care. The results is all we want to see. So what I was thinking about and talked to Denny about it was, when we get that thing back, give people a couple of weeks to think about it, and then send out a generic email to them. Appreciate that you were here, thought you showed some interest, and we understand you might be willing to host one of these things. If you're willing to do that now, let us know, and we'll get back to you individually and prep it. If you're still thinking about it, here's the website you can go look at. with the material that we gave you and get a better feel for it. And then later time, you know, when it gets back to us. And then we can kick another reminder out in 30 days.
And that'll work for some of the folks. But there were some folks that I talked to that really wanted more information. They actually wanted to see the program in action before they did it. Mm-hmm. And so I made the personal commitment that I would do a couple of those workshops. Grant and I were looking at dates. I went to the library, and the only date they had available was October 19th. So I grabbed it.
For a little room there, for one of the rooms?
No, the big room.
Oh, the big
for
room.
50.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So they could be invited to come to that, too, then.
Yeah, and he already
specifically went to go over Map Your Neighborhood deals.
Yeah.
Go
yeah.
over the program and discuss how to hold the meeting. And they took me into the room and went through the touch screen and everything like you guys have got in the other room.
Yeah, it's nice.
Except yours is bigger than theirs. Anyhow.
we were directing people to the YouTube website so that they could see the program for themselves.
Well, how many of these workshops were you hoping to put on, and what other locations are there if the library is limited?
The 50 at the library may be enough for one. And I went up to the Adult Community Center and through the Park Bureau, they're not booking anything now because they're in the midst of remodeling. And it will be into December, I think, before they're... I don't know what the actual finish date is, but I know November, late October, November are... So this is the other place.
And without a bunch of tables in here, if you just set up chairs, you can get a lot of people in here.
Yeah.
And we've got a class on October 12th that we're sponsoring for several different police agencies on how to... We're bringing a guy down from Seattle on how to work with and talk to the mentally ill guy that I went to a class that he taught recently, and just great. But the room, you can do 60. We just don't have that many chairs, but we can get more chairs. So we've got it set up for as many as 50 if we get that many. So we'll go get chairs if we have to.
Well, the first time we had 28 people here, and it was kind of crowded with the tables. So
right, but if we leave the tables and we just set up rows of chairs, we can get more than that in here.
Yeah, don't need the tables.
No, not for something like that.
And so if you take the 28 and the 51, we're at 79 right there, and we've got at least a dozen people who have already done it that will get buckets too. So all these people who come to the workshops or have signed that and going to do it on their own are going to get one of the buckets.
Right.
That's another thing we have to follow through. Yes.
Right. Well, the idea is if you run the program, you get a bucket.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
When I pass out a lot of packets with stuff and give them the materials, and then nothing has ever happened. So you sort of need to know that it happened before, I think.
Yeah, that was our original thing.
Yeah, they got to report back to you how many people they had.
You don't need to give me a bucket. I've signed up.
Yeah.
I'm really well prepared.
And we know you'll follow through.
And then you get to fill in the neighborhood on our map. By the way, the map and the easel and the banner are all back here in this room now.
And we filled some in at the thing where people would come in and say, oh, I mapped my neighborhood. And we were a little lenient about it, like if they did it 2 years ago, we still gave them the felt tip pen and encouraged them to fill it in, but also said, if you haven't done an update, you should think about doing an update.
Yeah.
And by the way, I facilitated a meeting for somebody else in a different neighborhood from mine, and I want to be sure and give her a bucket.
Of course.
When they become available.
Yeah.
Of course. We just need to keep track of them. And that's, when we're done with this, that's what I want to talk about, is the items in the bucket. So.
Okay, so we pretty much covered what we did.
And we're set.
We've got the addresses. We're going to follow up on that. We're going to try and pull these people in. We haven't been really good about that before because we haven't been that organized before.
I think we should set a deadline, because once the holidays start, people are just not going to have time to do this. And I think by...
second week of November.
You want everything done by Thanksgiving.
I'd say by Halloween. I'd shoot for that.
I think you could get into the first week or two of November without too much
with them having their meeting, but I'm
But given
there's a lot of
we're on the verge of October as it is.
Yeah. Well, organizing a meeting too sometimes can be really quick. If you've got a neighborhood that's cohesive for starters, and they've got the neighborhood list, and everybody's going out and drinking wine on the bench together, stuff like that, it's a piece of cake. If it's a neighborhood that has not had any social interaction, then you're knocking on doors. And Christine knows how that works. It just, you're trying to flush people up. So that could take you a month.
Yeah, they need, just to they get need long people. Lead times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a neighborhood meeting in my neighborhood trying to do it before Peter Lane went out of town for 6 weeks. And I only got two families attending out of 20 being invited.
We
need to do a do-over.
Yeah.
Well, so if I understand what you're saying, getting these people into an introductory class before Thanksgiving is what you're thinking.
Well, if they want to do that, or if they want to run a program, and some people say, oh, yeah, man, I can do that. Just turn the TV on and run with it.
Okay.
Pam.
It's just those who are worried about the public speaking.
Right.
Among their own peers. Yeah. You know, they don't want to look foolish. So they want a little bit of experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have no problem with that. I'll do two. If I have to, I'll do three. Mm-hmm. Just to do it. To get them to do it.
I think the invitation, though, to that, the follow-up to the list, should again have that link to the YouTube.
Oh, definitely. That would be on there for sure in a minute.
Yeah. And maybe a link to the City of West Lynn Public Safety Advisory, you know, Map Your Neighborhood website. And people may feel more confident if they view those items.
Yeah. Well, we've got a problem I need to talk about that has developed with Rotary. It took a while for the city to give in and give Rotary that $1,000 check for them to match it. I gave them kind of a general description of the items that were going to be in the bucket. I said this committee had not decided on all of them, and it depended on the price we got and what we got donated. Well, whoever wrote up the grant priced three things. One was water purification tablets for about $8.50. The turnoff wrenches for $275, which is what we're going to get them for. And the other one was a manual can opener for $7.50 or $8. Well, I got the manual can openers for $1 apiece. And I also got butane lighters for $1 apiece. Well, I started and when the grant was approved, the president of Rotary said, now, if you're going to go to one place and get this, we'll write one check. He said, but if I said, I can't get everything in one place. I'll get better deals if I don't. So he said, well, then you have to have somebody to get them and we'll get the money back. So I made the personal commitment. I've spent over $1,000 so far getting four items. They're right here on the list. And the last one, police whistles, that's going to be through Ace Hardware, and that may be cheaper than the $249. I've got to get together with Kenny. He was on the manager there. He was on his honeymoon, then he got back, and he had to urgently go into the eye doctor today when I had my appointment with him. But I'm going tomorrow. We're going to go through and get the wholesale prices on these other items. Well, somebody, and I don't know who she is, named Rebecca Horn. I don't think she's a part of this Rotary, but she has something to do with how the grant money goes. Said, you have to give, first of all, they thought we were giving out the 100 buckets to the first 100 people through the door at the fair. And when we put in for the grant, the fair wasn't even set. And so it was a big, major understanding, a continuance of a previous misunderstanding. And so they're saying, in order to get the $1,000 or actually at one point they were saying $2,000, and I said, hold it a minute. $1,000 of that belongs to the police. And you took it in good faith to, just to show that it's matching funds, and you're not going to control that. Well, they backed off and said, okay, but with this $1,000, you've got to buy these items. We don't need the water purification tablets, because I've got a sheet that I get off the computer, the Oregon website, that has all the stuff about purifying water and storing water. I can take those and get them laminated for a quarter apiece, and that's more beneficial than 8 purification tablets for $8. So right now I'm going back and forth with their board, and I said, hey, I want to know who made the decision that those were items that we had to buy, just so you guys know where it's at right now. And I'm like batting my head up against brick wall. And they said, we'll meet, and we'll find out, we'll try to put something in generally. And they were supposed to meet today, but I haven't gotten any feedback from them. So
get the $1,000 back from us, because there's no restrictions on that.
That's right.
Do whatever
but see,
you do with it.
Well, I still can fit it in if I can get them to say that the water purification instructions instead of the tablet. Then we're in, and we get $500 worth of credit to buying stuff wholesale at Ace also.
Right.
So that's why I gave you this, and on the bottom there are some of the things that several people at different times together with Grant, with Christine, and with Lori Griffith and a couple other people, we looked at some of the main things that we were proposing that were affordable, and they're at the bottom. So I'd kind of like you guys to just go through with a 1 to 3 rating. Rate number 1 being a high priority, 2 medium, 3 the lowest. So I've got somewhat of an idea that I'm just not going off on my own on this.
Well, I just rated the water purification tabs high.
Well,
now
I'm fine.
That you just shared that.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thought. I'm looking here and seeing that's on here. If that is the only sticking point on clearing up this cash flow, that might not be a bad item to just simply accept, just so you get reimbursed for what
we may have to. But that's like $800.
Yeah.
And we only have 3.
Yeah, there's definitely cheaper tablets out there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's way cheaper tablets.
Well, and it's just
like chlorine for $1 a bottle.
What about the iodine?
It's just like a can opener. I mean, they were going for the most deluxe one they could find, and it's ridiculous.
So maybe we do want to do the tablets, but we just want to make sure that we get a good deal on them. You can tell them that. I mean, it just seems so ridiculous that they want to control the price of what you're going to buy.
I think somebody probably just made an off-the-cuff decision.
They
weren't thinking about it or asking anybody anything.
And part of it was because I was out of town.
Yeah.
I was gone, but they had all my contact information. They just didn't.
Well, it is what it is at the moment.
Right. And
so just negotiation, that's all.
And I told them in the last email exchange this afternoon that I'm sure that we can work it out, but without a doubt, they're not in control of the $1,000 from the police.
Yeah,
right.
Well, if again, going back, if there's some issue where they're hung up on that water purification tablet, I'm sure we can present them with a cheaper cost and perhaps make that impact with them that we can get it for this, $2 or whatever it is, opposed to $8. I think that might just be a good position to have as a fallback.
Okay, give me some advice. Where are good places to look? I know REI is probably where they went because it's very expensive.
Yeah, I mean, if you go on Amazon, you find all kinds of water purification tablets for really inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a couple different backpack stores. There's one downtown Portland, Next Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great place to buy that kind of stuff.
That's on Grand.
Yes.
Yeah.
And really reasonable prices on all of that type of stuff.
Check with any of the Army Surplus stores. There's one out in Boring.
Yeah.
And even Andy and Bax right down on Grand, right next to Next Adventure. That's
sure, they've got something cheap.
I'll just go out and check it out this week and see.
There's, but I mean, that's
having used those tablets though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a pervert, so they don't taste good.
No.
But I really want to put those other directions in there because they're would be far more long lasting than just having a few tablets.
So did you want us to rate all of these things with a 1, 2, or 3?
I just rated 3 of them.
Yep.
3's fine.
Yeah. I did 4 because I love duct tape.
Yeah, top three would be fine.
No, seriously.
I know it. Duct tape fits a bunch of rolls.
It does.
It's part of the medical supply kit. It's part of everything.
Yeah, you did duct tape and failing wire.
Huh?
Oh, it's great for splinting.
Oh, yeah.
Because it doesn't come off.
You can cut. I had a guy who got a big laceration on a rafting trip.
Yeah.
Or in the middle of nowhere. Just use duct tape to
close it up.
Oh, yeah. I did that, too. And my waders on the same rafting trip.
They didn't give you a numerical.
See, I would have put a first aid kit and stick some duct tape
water
in there.
Directions versus
or a roll of tape. Yeah. Okay. A roll of solid tape.
I just wanted to be able to say that I came back to the committee for some directions. So they don't say, well, it's just all you.
But you can close them.
It is all you, and you went that way.
They do the things for them all the time.
Other than that, so where do we go from here? What are we looking at having in place for, you know, where we want to be in a month from now when we have our next meeting? Or are we meeting next month or into November?
Well, this is what, September? We're back on our regular
schedule. We're done with summer breaks.
Which should be on the third Friday, not the fourth
Friday. But Chuck had cut it back every other month.
Every other month?
Yeah.
Okay. Monday.
This is September. So the next one would be in November then.
If it was every other month. That's why I'm saying Where do we want to be as far as our next meeting? Do we want to follow up in a month, so at the end of October, or do we want to wait until, realistically, probably before the holidays in November?
Well, we wait till the third and the fourth. We're going to be Thanksgiving.
That's
what I'm saying. Too, so
yeah, I think you have
one. We may want to look at something latter part of October, first part of November, and compromise the two.
Okay.
That's just a wild ass guess.
I'd say do one towards the end of next month so that you can recalculate where you're at,
see,
get the emails.
See how these
and because you're not going to, November, December are just shot.
It is. Yeah.
You know, they just shot, especially in this town. People leave, everybody's gone. You're not going to get commitments during the holidays from people around here.
This is what I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
If we don't get
our
program wrapped by the end of October, and if people don't get their meetings then, I think there's very little chance of them happening until spring.
Well, until the first of the year.
If we
got a follow-through program in place, so we'll be able to do that.
Yeah.
Or at least I hope we will.
I think you get into February, and people start getting bored, and I bet you can get some meetings, even when it's still winter, as long as you don't have a terrible winter, I bet you get some people before spring.
If we're looking at late November, or October rather, the fourth Monday is the 26th, the first one in November is the 2nd, and I, you know, as opposed to being on the third Monday, I'm just thinking that maybe the October 19th, which would be 3 weeks out, might be too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I've got that workshop.
Okay, well,
so do the last Monday.
So October 26th is a Monday?
October 26th is the last Monday in October. Yes. It's 4 weeks out. Or if you want to push it just beyond and maybe get a compromise, like the first Monday in November is the 2nd.
I'd go October 26th. That's 1 month.
Yeah.
And you've got a good momentum going right now. There's a lot of stuff going. I think it's worth discussing October 26th. And then you've got a month before Thanksgiving, so you still got some time to get a few things done, and then it's going to get shut down from mid-November through December, and even into the
couple weeks of January.
After that, I think, especially into January, into February, I think you'll
start lighting fires again.
Yeah, I think you'll get some people involved again.
They'll figure out they can write 2016 without the world coming to an end.
Well, I think we have to sort of go on the safety fair too. that this has got everybody listening,
right.
The newspaper and everything else, so as much as we can get done.
Strike while the iron is hot.
Yep. Exactly.
So is there anything else besides following up on our map of the neighborhood contacts and dealing with the supplies for the bucket that we need to be looking at or anticipating in preparation?
Yeah, I think we need to look at another member. I remember why that seventh person isn't there. We had somebody on the committee, but they haven't been here for a year.
I sent him
emails.
Yeah.
And have gotten no response.
Well, then, they moved to Oregon City.
Yeah, you got to be in the city.
Yeah.
To be
interested.
Who is it that
dropped out?
That hasn't turned out. Because we have to, because unless somebody's notified in the city.
It has to come from city council.
The guy that was from South Africa. Yeah, I know it has to come from city council. But
they don't know. City council doesn't know who's attending and who's not.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well,
so
I assume we have a list somewhere.
We do. I have a list.
And we just need to look at the list and see who's.
I'll look at the list when I get home.
And I don't know.
I'll send you out the list. Okay,
we were well represented at the fair. I mean, she was there, Bob was there.
Yeah, I'll send you out the list of everybody that's supposed to be on this committee. Let me know who's regularly turning up and who you're missing. We'll then, because if the rule is, unless you've got a specific reason why not, if you don't attend, I think it's for 2 months or something like that.
I was going to say it's gone. Two consecutive or something
two
like that. Two
unexcused absences.
Yes, yes. Then you're gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're off the committee.
Yeah.
So I need to know. Okay, so I'll send it out to everybody and take a look.
Just so you know, that the October 26th, was that the date you just...
That's what we had looked in. Yeah.
Yeah, my wife is having surgery a few days before that, a knee replacement, and I'll try and be here, but I can't guarantee it. Okay. She might still be in the hospital.
She might be running a marathon around. Who knows?
Not my wife.
Okay. They have them up and running right away. So
it is amazing.
Yeah.
So I've got a list of the seven people who should be on this thing.
Okay.
Is it Arthur Glower?
Art? Yeah.
Arthur moved to Oregon City.
Yeah, moved to Oregon City.
And it was the other guy.
Who else is on there?
What's his spelled last name? Tom? Arthur, spelled G-L-O-E-R.
Yeah.
Chuck, Dennis, Bob Downing, Grant, and me. Isn't that seven?
Okay, then the other guy was already taken off.
Yeah.
So we're down one.
So it's just this Arthur?
Yeah.
Arthur Glover.
So we're down.
So he no longer lives in the city.
Well, and hasn't been to a meeting for...
No, he hasn't been.
Forever. Yeah.
Ever. I don't think I even know him. No. So he hasn't been here for a long time.
Okay, so getting the seventh body, map the neighborhoods coming up. You're going to do some either presentations specifically on that or recruitment, introduction, orientation, or getting stuff for the bucket.
Yeah,
and
resolving the
badge is deal. Brenda, you want me to look at that?
No, I'll follow up on
you
that.
Sure? Okay. All right, then I won't worry about
and
that.
And I've got this down for this guy, too. Okay. I was just looking at what they've got on Amazon for water purifying. So what? Some of these packs look more expensive, but they have several strips in them. You don't have to give them the whole box. So if they've got, like, five strips in them, you could give them one strip each.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a starter.
Five strips of tablets, yeah.
Right. I love this. $6 and $9 shipping, and... And it's not on Prime.
Oh, well, we
keep looking.
But $15 for six strips.
All, that's okay,
that's, you know, I mean, that's $2 something a strip.
Yeah.
That's more in our price range.
Yeah. Just don't make coffee with that kind of
stuff.
It says it's backpacker ID and osmosis military.
Yeah. The military stuff will keep you alive. It just doesn't taste.
May not keep you happy, but.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're in that point.
As long as you don't get GRD.
Okay. So you're in that
But point? I do agree that you need to, the purifying tablets get you through the first week, but then you got to have a plan, and that's where that documentation comes in.
Because
you got to have the ability to either boil or do some other things.
Yeah.
Filter.
Exactly, yeah.
Brenda, I need to ask you, if we have some people who have been working with this Map Your Neighborhood thing, and they would be interested, should we forward their name to the city council to take that empty slot?
We have to put it out, so we can put it out and they can apply, and then okay. They have to fill in the form.
Actually, that's not a bad idea to include in your announcement out to these people on follow up, saying that the public safety
committee. Well, I don't think David might like to be on.
Unless you know somebody specifically.
Yeah, this Dave Baker, who's doing work for us already, would be terrific on here.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then we select.
He needs to fill in.
But you legally have to, like, Councillor's saying, you have to put it out legally in the right way.
So I'll give it to Kathy Malosky, and let her know there's a vacancy. She will then put it out,
okay.
And then once she gets the forms in, the forms you just download from the city website.
We just want to put in a good word for somebody we know is already working with us and working for us.
And that you know you can work with.
Yeah.
That's perfect sense. Okay.
Well, I can always run it by you guys when I get the names.
Okay,
thank you.
New business?
I think we've got to set that up in motion.
Okay.
So I'm going to get stuff from my meeting, which we held before our next meeting.
We will walk back there and get her shirt.
Yeah.
What we need.
Sounds good.
Oh, I've got another question. I'm gathering all these boxes of 100 things. Is there still room in this shelf in here?
I'm sure there is. Grant, do you have a key to this now?
No, I don't, and I'd love to have a key. But there's none of the pamphlets or anything are in there.
Yeah, we're just looking to see how much more room we've got for storing stuff.
Well, we can move all our stuff in there if we can get away with it. You can.
I got a garage full of stuff.
I'm not going to get any in it.
Now, this thing is basically empty. Yeah. So we can put all kinds of stuff.
The biggest issue.
You may never
do
come out.
Something like that. Yeah. The more people you have, the less involved people will be. Because you're going to say, well.
We have buckets. We can just get our ball.
We'll continue to use that.
Did I ever tell you how I started Cup Hack?
You bet.
Well, I don't even, I can imagine. You probably wouldn't beat on people.
I went to a meeting and they wanted to start up a new Cup Hack because we didn't have spaces in any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, so I stepped up and I, besides working full time with three kids and being in school, I stepped up to be Cup Master. So I told everybody there, this is not a babysitting organization. Everybody who wants their child in this pack will take a job. If you can't get out, you'll do the phone calls for reminders, or you'll make the awards or something like that. That pack, every parent was involved and did something.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the rule, and then it was the rule.
Well, in the Match Your Neighborhood program, actually what you do is you're assigning jobs.
I'm good at that.
The point being, again, and I'll go back and I'll reiterate it again, if you've got 30 people, you've only got about not that many jobs for people to be doing. People in large groups will sit back and do it. Just in my personal experience, if you can get 10 people together, you get them committed, you get a lot done. You get 20 people, you're still only going to get 10 people's worth of work done.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It just works that way.
I'm a state counselor.
Geographically, I don't know how your neighborhood looks, but look at it in terms of what would be logical.
I am, and it's a fairly cohesive neighborhood.
Yes.
People are in contact.
Good for
we're in a square with the houses backing onto each other, and then the ones surrounding. It's actually I know most of the neighbors.
Okay.
And yeah.
That's a good.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Well, as a council person,
that's good.
So, anything else that we're missing? Are we set? Are we moving forward then? Mm-hmm. Where it is.
So we've set the date for the next
meeting. I'll tell Tony October 26th, same time, 6 p.m.
Yeah, and I'll tell you just a very good note to depart on. Grant and I have been working hard at this for 2.5 years.
Longer,
yeah, and we feel really good about where it's at now.
Yeah.
We feel like it's finally taking hold and catching on.
Yeah.
And
all
the work we put in over this time is paying off.
And we do appreciate all the work you guys
have put in.
We really do.
Even though that pamphlet came in the water bill after the event, in looking at it, it at least gave some direction. Because Map Your Neighborhood, we've always talked about being a challenging title, but at least did something to explain it and bring it into light as to what you're trying to accomplish. So I hope that others have looked at their bill and noticed it.
Our banner says Neighborhood Emergency Preparedness.
Yeah.
That's what we have down there. I worked on that.
Okay.
Let Let me raise two points that people talked to us about down there, and they were pretty passionate about this. The one lady in particular, she had questions. She said, "This is really great. We've done it in my neighborhood, but we realize that there's some things that we need to know more about that are going to be fairly critical, fairly early." And the first one was sanitation.
I'm sorry.
What do we do about human waste?
Oh,
sanitation.
Okay.
What do we do about human waste? How should we handle that? How do we handle it? We just don't want everybody digging a hole in the backyard and contaminating the groundwater or whatever. So there's got to be out there somebody that's already thought about this, I would hope.
We're giving them a bucket.
Well, yeah. But
yeah, but that's going to get full pretty quick.
It's going to run down here and down the river.
Oh, right.
And then the other question that came up, which I thought was, after the fact, that's a pretty good thing to do. Because we're going to be isolated, let's face it. There's not going to be any facilities that anybody's going to be able to get to for nothing. For anything. What do you do with a dead body?
Or
stop
bodies.
Stop and think about
numbers
that.
Of bodies.
Yeah. What do you do with that, or a dead animal, or whatever you want to talk about? How do you manage that? And probably nobody's even thought about this kind of stuff, but somebody raised the question.
They do collect.
I can see, yeah, if you're down for 3 months before you start getting any kind of help, though, you're going to have these issues that are going to be right in your
and
face.
That just creates disease and stuff. Well, cold would be best, but, you know, I mean, put them on ice.
Well, yeah, where you can
do that.
Not
going
to happen in July.
And then where
you
going to
be nice if you can have ice just to keep your food.
I was working at a hospital in London when I had a major train crash. A lot of bodies, a lot of people killed. They actually emptied a swimming pool and put them in there. And that was emergency service will pick them up.
Eventually.
No, actually, they have to make that a priority because of health reasons.
Yeah.
So, you know, a couple of days you're okay. You go much longer than that. They're already doing their rescue work. They will remove.
Yeah. So that's an issue. Is there a plan in place for the community for some things like that? Probably at this point, not.
Mm-mm.
But again, this thing that came out.
Think about though.
Yeah, this thing that just came out of the governor's office with the new rules. We're doing suggestions for all the emergency stuff and everything. I don't know if you've even
I would not be surprised
not.
If there were not some
the book?
More contingency okay. plans in some of
no,
the
not
all county or state programs, but it's not trickled down to us.
Yeah,
can.
But it's still going to take, it's going to take weeks for them
anyway,
to get
yeah, I'm saying that I would suspect
there's
somebody
there's some big stuff coming up in all this in the government side of things.
Right.
And so that's something
we were just talking about.
I'm going to a meeting coming up here in a month or so, and that's something I'll
I think Terry said he may have the book come or something like that. But they published a book, I know that. I saw the blurb on the news and I caught it walking away.
They're planning on doing some intergovernmental large clear up into Washington, you know, mostly tabletop type stuff with, okay, we've had a 9.3.
Right.
And it's affected this huge area. And so that'll be a good thing to...
Those are the kinds of questions that are
good
thing
to ask, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is body bags. To make sure who's got the supply of body bags so as they can, so people can be put in them and it can be labeled. Yeah. And so if you put them all in one place, then you've got that.
So we're...
There's... Of course, we don't have any. The only people that have a lot of them is the National Guard. They've got a ton of them.
Yeah, a hospital keeps a fair few.
A hospital, yeah, but they're going to run out in a hurry if something like this. Yeah, it's interesting. I it's not something I thought of.
And they're not real expensive, so it's something that you could get.
55-gallon drum garbage bag. Worst came to worst.
The zipper ones are better if you and they're not expensive. You can just get those and label them. And they come with labels, and you want to be careful to make sure that people are identified and treat them with respect.
Yeah.
Be a tough deal.
So the human waste, the way we did it when I was a kid, you dug a hole in the backyard and you dumped it in there, shovel full of lime on top of it, and it was covered.
Okay. That's, I mean, that's...
But that's pretty temporary kind of stuff.
Well,
it could be permanent for a long time.
Could be, yes. I mean, you're basically...
DEQ and EPA are not going to be running around enforcing anything.
Yeah.
When you think about the size of some of the lots, though, and the fact that we're a sloping city, I would worry about, you know, contamination.
Yeah,
and here we are trying to scrabble for water and our drinking tablets and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I would like, you know, individual neighborhoods to have a shared plan.
Well,
and
so
I'd like to, you know, have some solid suggestions for what
no
they, people
exactly.
could do as groups, and then
Who's to answer those questions?
That is just a very,
you brought up the
very important
line. Is that a, that's basically
it's
your
dangerous. Lyme can be really dangerous. You've got kids around and everything. But I'll tell you, you can get some Chirurgi big bottles of disinfectant from Costco, and that you can put on it will take care of some of
it.
How
long before that runs out? With the neighborhood supply, we're talking weeks.
Right.
Well, that's something you would have to have as a central point, is the Lyme, because you couldn't expect people to have it in their houses.
Well, you have a stack of Lyme in your garden shed. I got one in mine.
Five-gallon bucket. Goes a long way.
In a bucket.
I know. I had an outhouse up where I was building my cabin for 5 years, and that outhouse never smelled, and it was 1 5-gallon bucket we had there, and we just sprinkled it on once in a while.
You don't have to put a lot on there.
And it did not affect my well at all. Because I had my well tested years afterwards.
Hmm. So.
Yes, but you weren't living cheap by jowl.
No,
we weren't. 25,000 other people.
No,
it's a great question. I think there needs to be some research done on that.
I think so too, and thank you for bringing that up.
Something that was really in my face about that. You know, what are you going to do? What are we going to do?
That's something that bothers me as well.
Yeah,
that's a great one.
Getting people to even recognize the fact they're going to be on their own for the 3-day threshold has been a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Now that we're talking about 3 months,
now that we're talking about the larger infrastructure aspect of it, the isolation we're going to be faced with, you've got even more problems.
One of the things that I put on my top three was hand sanitizers. Because infection and illness spread in situations like that. So you've got to have, you're not going to be able to wash the hands. You've got to have the hand sanitizers. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a priority as far as I'm concerned.
To not spread disease by making people use that.
Yeah. I mean, you can give it to yourself. You look at putting people on a cruise ship. I don't wash their hands, and how many people get sick. Yeah. So imagine a place where there's no washing facilities.
You know, I just read a book about the Oregon Trail and how many people died of typhoid following the trail.
That's right.
And, you know, all the rest stops. You get sick at the rest stop where mm-hmm. people had been before. Mm-hmm. And Mike, I really appreciate you looking at it from this point of view because, you know, the tabletop exercise a lot of times is a higher level. Emergency communications.
It can bring up problems. And I'll be bringing, when I start going to these meetings and I start learning more information, I'll keep you updated mm-hmm. on what we can learn and look at from a local level.
Yeah. And I got the ultimate one for you.
I'm ready.
Perimeter defense. And I don't say that laughingly.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not a joke to think that if it was bad enough and long enough, and some people are going to go get what they need, mm-hmm. and that means guns and the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And they're gonna come get what they need.
Yeah. Looting
or try.
Yeah. Houses broken, doors broken, windows broken. Yeah. Easy to get in.
There won't be demographics in areas. You can pretty much see where your problems are.
That's another heavy plastic turf.
It's really easy to see.
Like these rolls.
You can just point your finger.
Because people in areas that aren't...
People that are disadvantaged.
They're going to come here looking for what they need.
Right.
That's a real consideration.
Mm-hmm. And in desperation, even the most...
Book, if you want to read it, called One
Respected Second Individuals Will Become...
One Second
Animals.
Okay, get that.
I will.
On Amazon.
All right.
May I ask a question? Going back to the sanitation thing, do you think that we could find answers to these questions about what could be done in population density such as most of us live in, and do an information card in the bucket, for a 25-cent lamination? Or I'd be willing to draft something that could be photocopied and then you could laminate it or something like that.
And not
come
just
with
in the
basic
bucket, I think maybe for general distribution,
just general distribution.
We'll get a chance.
Yeah, I mean, so there needs to be some research You know, if a hole is the right answer in a yard, how deep is that hole supposed to be? What are you putting in the hole to keep, you know, to, because, I mean, if you look at sanitation systems in, you know, big houses where they have the
septic drain fields,
that's basically what you're doing. It's just it's what an outhouse is. It's a drain field. It's just a small setup.
So it's like build your own latrine kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Potentially. Now, one of the things you can do, did you go pop manhole cover off sewer and dump it in there? So if you live up on the hill where I
live. Of course, but most of the sewer, of the manhole covers aren't sewers, though. They're just drainage.
Drainage to where?
Yeah, and that's going to be.
Down to my house.
Down to the river.
That's not going to be intact either.
I'm up here. I don't have any
water. You're without water, you're without drainage.
My house might be in the river.
It's the water up front, and a lot of it from the street stuff is going to the river.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Straight to the river.
Right, I know.
Which
is going to happen anyway.
Yeah, somebody else will do it.
And then the whole water thing becomes paramount even more so, because all our little creeks that run down to the river, instead of water sources, they're going to be sources of disease.
Contamination.
You know, I have to say, one of the things that frustrates me, and again it came out with LOT, you know, and I'm not going to get onto LOT, but one of the things that frustrates me is, they've made it earthquake safe. Great! The facilities can be earthquake safe, but what about the pipes in the road, which are going to break? And what about the intake? Because the dams are not earthquake safe, so cracks are going to come down the river,
right,
and it will damage the intake. So you'll have a facility that might survive, but no water getting to it, no water getting out of it. So I think that is pie in the sky when they give out, and this is great, we've built this facility.
Every one of the utility companies came out with that kind of scenario when they first started talking about this. We can be out back and running in 8 days. The assumption made that everybody else is already up and running. So if you don't have electricity,
how are you going to get your stuff?
Or if you don't have fuel.
Or if your intake valves were smashed up by somebody coming down the river.
Yeah, but if you can't run your power equipment, I don't care what it is, gas or electricity or propane, you're done.
And if the earth moves, the pipes are in it.
That's the big thing. Gas, water, all that stuff that's buried is just going to get in a real, you know, just a little shake around. That's not what we're talking about, but in a real one. And the whole idea that, it's earthquake safe is ridiculous to me anyway, because look at what happened in Japan. I'm sure that they would have said before that tsunami that nuclear facility was earthquake safe.
Well, and their dike was tight.
But it wasn't.
Yeah. Look what happens in Chile down there. They have these same earthquakes down there.
So tragic.
And what they found out, we've seen the material on it, their bridges survive, but the approaches all fall away because they're all built on fill.
Mm-hmm.
So you got this great piece of equipment standing there
that you can't get to.
So, you know, that is, it puts out almost a line, because people think, well, I'll be okay because, you know, it's earthquake safe, so I'll be able to get water.
Yeah.
No, you are on your own.
How much food are you guys, I know you're talking about that, but are you talking about like a week, 2 weeks? I mean,
suggesting a month.
A month.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And I don't have that much.
I'm sure I don't.
I've got that much, but not if all the neighbors come knocking on the door.
I got a bunch of cans, and you'll eat anything in that.
I will trade wine for food. I got a lot of that.
That may not survive in the
grave. You'll have come to barter.
Sorry.
I still got it.
I have one more piece of new business.
Okay.
And we're ready for it.
Okay. So there's some strong issues that hopefully we'll start getting some answers on.
So, something that I've become aware of through my membership on the Willamette Falls Heritage Foundation is that there's some momentum towards using the Willamette River as a corridor in case of emergency. And I guess Julie Parrish is putting this forward as a Senate bill, I don't know the name of it.
Mm.
And she's working with several groups, including a group called Willamette Corridor, which is working with the City of Portland and has been part of their emergency preparedness task force. And so, just FYI.
I was asked to be on a committee that was looking at the viability of all our dams in the Willamette Valley. This was about 6 or 7 years ago, and it had to do with earthquake save. There's not a single dam that they feel would survive an 8.4. And they're all creeping down. They're all old. We've got dams on the North San Yam, the South San Yam. We've got them on the Clackamas. We've got them even up the Tualatin, a huge earthen dam that'll give way. And we're going to have a big rush of water coming from so many different directions.
And it'll bring debris down and parts of the dam and everything else.
Well,
any dams that survive may not survive the deluge coming down the rivers.
And a lot of them won't even go to 8. They'll only 7 or
the locks. The locks will be wiped out. Well, locks are rocked
now. I'm just making you aware that there is this movement going on.
So is the idea to... Because there's a whole bunch of places on the Willamette that aren't passable by anything other than a small boat. You know, I mean, where they're because of sandbars. I mean, are they talking about actually
dredging?
May open it up.
I don't believe so. In some ways, I feel like this is being done to kind of just support the effort to reopen the locks and give this area standing and importance in the region. Mm-hmm. Although the Willamette Corridor Association is different. I think they're based more in Portland and then going upriver to the different communities along the Willamette. And they're espousing not only this emergency utility of the river, but also scenic and, you know, a couple of other features too. So that's just part of their platform.
Well, this committee I was on, we at the first meeting, we asked for data. We asked for a bunch of stuff from state staff. The governor canceled the committee.
They didn't like the questions you were asked?
Didn't like the questions. That was it.
Sadly, you know, a lot of these things, they get passed because it seems like a nice idea and nobody's really objecting. But nobody really thinks it through. I mean, I don't know whether you've really heard much about Julie Parrish's forestry thing. I mean, she'd like us to put up trees in the center medians. You know, we can grow them there and make money. Right. And all this. So, well, really? Because they've got to be limbed. They've got to be big enough to be worth doing. And can you see those long, tall trees up there? And then she's talking about white oak savanna. Do you know how long it takes a white oak savanna to mature?
Forever. What kind of root system do you want under your roads?
Well, precisely. I mean, you ask Public Works, and the one thing they hate most of all is trees, because it wrecks everything. But she's, you know, putting that, well, it sounds great. Sounds
Wasn't
like a
the
great
point thing. Also to harvest them at some point.
They're going
to
harvest them,
and
yes, because...
Can you imagine how upset the neighborhood would be if you were taking down their big, beautiful trees?
Well, all you can do is look at the news, because a bunch of my buddies were out there dealing with all the people that didn't want
those big trees cut down.
Big trees cut down. Yeah. People climbing up and hanging in the trees.
But they're not even going to be pretty trees. They just, and they have to be limbed in a certain way. So they go straight up, you know? So,
good luck.
I mean, nice idea. Really,
I think
practical.
We're getting a feel of what our topic is. So, if we're not going to do anything more in terms of map your neighborhood or preparedness, let's close the meeting. And if we want to talk about that beyond that, that's certainly well and good. But
yeah, okay.
That sounds good.
All right. So. It is 6:58 p.m. And we're going to close the meeting. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right.
I move to adjourn.
Brent, I'm going to get stuff out of the
room. And somebody seconds, and we're closed.
Second.
All right.
Then we're done.
Yes.